State Representative Haveman, who's on the other end of our line. How are you, sir?
Very good. Good morning, sir.
It looks like we're going to have some challenges with the budget when it comes to higher education. Give us the lowdown on that, as I know you're up very late last night dealing with this issue.
Well, we knocked off about 6 o'clock or 5, 6 o'clock. It wasn't that late. The higher ed piece, I believe, has probably come together overnight or later. And as I understand, that's the only thing on our agenda today. That's why we're in on a Friday, June 1, just to finish that up.
All right. What's been the big challenge with that from your perspective?
Well, I think there's been some disagreement on the higher ed part, as you've said. It's really a discussion as to whether how we hold the schools accountable on the performance measures. I mean, that's been one of the center points of the governor's message since he came into office, is how we improve, how we measure success, how we make sure that we're getting the best value for money. And those performance measures, I think, have been the topic of discussion.
Representative, why don't we spend more money on pre-K?
Well, there's a lot of people that believe we spend... Oh, pre-K, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Pre-K.
Yeah.
Well, I think it really is about money. I mean, you have K-12 that's been continues to say we don't spend more, even though we've seen that go up. Pre-K is something that I think we all believe in some form, but not every parent believes that they need their child in a structured school. It's a great question. We'd like to see more spent. I think there's advocates for it here in the legislature. It really comes down to resources and priorities, and I hope that we can get there sometime. Maybe not in the time I'm here, but we know it's a good investment. We know there's a return on investment for pre-K. So it's a challenge to find enough resources available to make everyone happy.
All right, we are going to try and get you back on the program. Hold on the line. We've got a couple more questions for you. Representative Joe Haveman, who we just had on the program, and according to this press release, it says that Representative Haveman must think nobody's watching, said Cook, but we are. The same way we put the spotlight on the pay-to-play deal in Lansing, politicians tried to deliver for GEO Group. So apparently this individual doesn't think that this is a quality bill. Why do you think he's saying this, Representative?
You know, Tony, at the end of the day, they're just afraid of a little competition. That's what this privatization or competitive bidding, frankly, is about, is they don't like the monopoly, or they like the monopoly they have on jobs, and they're afraid of the private sector showing them that maybe things can be done better and for less money. Now, what you read there on that statement, that we're allowing prisoners to work for less than minimum wage, understand that this bill would do nothing to change what the status quo is in regards to that. It would keep the same prisoners doing the same job, making the same wage they are now. The only thing that would change is possibly a private company that would come in and manage those men or women.
Well, Todd Cook, the director of We Are the People of Michigan, said that taxpayers won a major victory when the House and the Senate removed language from the Department of Corrections budget that would have closed Michigan's Ionia Reformatory and opened the door for the GEO Group. Obviously, you disagree with that. Why?
Well, this is totally separate from the Baldwin prison issue. Hmm. Okay, this has nothing to do with the Baldwin prison issue. This has to do with allowing a private company to come in and provide private services within the prison and allowing the prison labor, like they do now, to continue to work at less than minimum wage or prevailing wage for things like food service and laundry and just individual small things that have to be done or have to be consumed or used within the prison. That's the way it is now. So it is the same prisoner doing the same job for the same money as before the bill that passed out of committee yesterday.
Well, from your perspective, will private companies have more of a role in running Michigan's prisons?
I sure hope so. And it's not just about the money. I mean, I think we can do it for less money if we allow some competitive bidding to come in. but it's about changing the culture and creating a competitive atmosphere in our prisons so our own department can rise to the occasion and look at how things are done better or done differently and say, maybe we can learn from what the private sector does. You know, it's interesting that we are so afraid of the private sector coming in and competing with the public sector. Well, the private sector seems to work pretty well on the outside in the private sector. Why wouldn't we allow them to try to teach us and raise the bar a little bit, give us some benchmarks to rise to?
Do you have a challenge with the private sector coming in and making money off of Michigan's prisoners?
I don't care if the private sector makes money. That doesn't bother me. But what I want is to try to reduce our cost and improve the quality. If the private sector makes money and our prisoners are going to get the same wage for the same job, I'm not sure that's an important part to me. As long as we can save money and do a better job, what do we care if the private sector makes money? Isn't that what the private sector is there for?
Are you afraid that some will be motivated to see that we get more prisoners so that these private companies can succeed and profit?
That is the most ridiculous argument in the world. Tony, you know, I've heard that somehow we're going to try to get more prisoners so these private companies can make more money. The jurisdiction of who goes to prison and for how long remains with the state. That isn't going to change. And for the public sector to indicate that somehow the private sector is guilty of wanting more prisoners, we're guilty of that ourselves. How many communities in the state that have a public prison are deathly afraid of that prison closing because of their jobs? They're as guilty of it as what they're accusing the private sector of.
So there's no influence from the private sector, from the public sector, on legislation?
There's no influence to do what?
To have laws to lock people up. I know it sounds silly, but
no.
That's
even worse out of the MCO and out of the prisons themselves, out of our prison employees. I think that's even worse because they do not want to ever see a prison close because of their own jobs. We face that now with them. The influence that we got to make sure prisons stay open. You know, in a perfect world, wouldn't we want every prison to close? From a tax point of view, as well as trying to get these men and women out and being productive, we're more concerned about incarceration than we are about correcting behavior.
Well, it's a fascinating topic. I know we'll be talking more about it. We've been talking to State Representative Joe Haveman. Sir, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Tony.